I got to admit to you, I lead a sheltered life. I've been Vicar General for 9 years, and I live and work in the same building, as some of the staff know. And I go up and down those steps every day, do my work, my emails, my meetings, my phone calls, my memos, my inbox, my outbox. And the workload is such, compared to earlier in my life, I just never really get away. Except I've made the discipline every morning, especially on the weekends. I go over to a little cafe near Holy Name Heights, and I do my emailing. I get myself out among people who are not Catholic, aren't Christian, or so on. And I call it the Theological Cafe because I wear my collar. And with my collar, I get slowly interaction and comments as people get to know me somewhat unfiltered. And for a sheltered vicar general, this is a very good thing to be able to hear what's going on out there, really and truly. So I'm going to give you a little insight into my cast of characters over the years at the nearby Theological Cafe. The aging Marxist who has the entitlement with God theory. I remember, this is like 3 weeks ago, we finally got to this discussion, where he told me, Karl Marx is surely in heaven. And I admit, I said to him, I think Karl Marx was an atheist. And he said, yes, but he's in heaven. And I realized how the excess of mercy becomes entitlement. That if I can think more mercifully than God, I'll let everybody in. And that means I'm entitled to get in. He began with the priests here will know this. He began when he spoke to me with that line that I dread. Father, I was an altar server. But let me tell you something. Karl Marx is in heaven. So that's my first friend there at the Theological Cafe. My second friend, the aging intellectual who reads vociferously on all religions. He's always got a book on a different religion. Reads them all, involved in none. A kind of life, it seems, maybe I'm judging, of quiet desperation. Looking for truth in all the wrong places or whatever that is. Third, the agnostic scientist who can't really answer the basic question of creation when I pose it to him. He's convinced of the myth of progress. Surely we will find out how the cosmos was created without God. And he invariably has a Catholic joke for me every time he comes in. One that always needles me. He's always got one. There is my other friend who says, I like Pope Francis a lot. He's such a breath of fresh air. Implication, I didn't like Pope Benedict. I didn't like Pope John Paul II. And I don't have the heart to tell him, but it's really not fair to Pope Benedict, to Pope Francis. Frankly, it's not fair to Jesus Christ. It's as old as, well, I like Apollos, I like Paul, or really just as political or pedestrian as I like Obama, I don't like Bush, or vice versa. Their politics is their religion. The most disconcerting. Actually, one of them I knew the best. He commented on the odd interest of Christians in the wounds of Christ in piety. So he was commenting on it, and then he said, hey, I never asked God to suffer for me. Right? Meaning, he never asked my permission to suffer for me. It is bone-chilling to hear that. Non servium, I will not serve. It has echoes of that. When I heard that one, it did send chills down my spine. Now, I've come to love these people because I've been in that cafe forever and ever doing my emails. And they've come up to me, and as all of us have, we have friends who are far from the faith, yet we love them very much, and we yearn for them to be converted. What are the lessons I learned from the theological cafe? One, tick-tock goes the theological clock. Time is running out for the aging cast of characters. Life finishes, and they will be held accountable, just as I will be. Second, my inability to have any effect on them. I admit I am powerless. If you have any suggestions, I would like to hear them. I just have absolutely none. I am thinking that maybe some of you who will be baptized and received in the church and confirmed would likely have better chances, because you're lay people going out there and you might have a more powerful presence. The guy in the collar, sure, he's going to say what he's going to say. It's expected. But you might have a greater influence on those whom I love. Third, and this is for all of us, gratitude. On this Easter vigil, we should be so grateful for the gift of the resurrection and our faith. The fact that you're sitting in the pew tonight here, you should be astoundingly grateful. Somehow you're here, and at least some are not. The fact that the catechumens and candidates, parishioners here, it's a supreme gift of grace that the Lord has given you. Now, before I get too critical for my cast of character buddies at the Theological Cafe, we should turn a little bit and look at ourselves, too. So I call this the too much and the too great. The too much. Everything we do, particularly in our faith life, is so distressingly small and seems to fall infinitely short of what we desire for ourselves, or perhaps what we think the Lord asks of us. We fall so far short of the cross and its demands, and we know it, almost as if too much is asked of us. We're so inadequate, and the gift is so great. We can spend our lives improving ourselves just so we can reach the point of truly knowing our inadequacy at the end. It's a tough fact of life. But if you reach that point with profundity, if you realize how inadequate you are, I think you'll make great strides in the interior life of faith. The resurrection is a mirror to us of our dependency and reliance on God. Our failures can be the Lord's greatest triumph in us, just as his seeming earthly failure was his final victory. So that's the too much. The too great. How dangerous when the great things wear thin as a result of our familiarity with them. As St. Dominic once said of the vocation of St. Albert the Great, who in fact came from the faculty of law, from which students were flocking to the Dominican order, whereas no theologians were entering the order, at least at the time. St. Dominic said that this was very, very easy to understand. When someone has always drunk water only and suddenly gets fiery wine, then he is intoxicated by it. But then there is the sacristan, he says, who has to deal with the Blessed Sacrament daily and who soon begins to forget to genuflect because it is too commonplace, i.e., he's referencing the theologian. We all sense the danger that great things may first overwhelm us and then wear thin. It is so with the resurrection of our Lord that we celebrate tonight. Hopefully it never happens to us. The spectators at the cross, they were the first theological cafe. The jeering crowd, somewhat oblivious to what is happening, sufficiently sipping the external event without knowing what is happening. The soldiers throwing the dice for the cloak, they revel in their power and joke about religion. The chief priests, fashioning religion according to their liking when the great things are too commonplace. The unrepentant thief, treating the Lord like a vending machine. Save me from the cross, and I'll believe. Denying God's freedom and really denying his own dignity. The repentant thief, who saw how much he fell short and found his victory. And then the Blessed Virgin Mary, the real depth of cooperation in Christ's victory over the cross is found in the witness of silent contemplation of its beauty, not in stopping the crowd. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the great example for us, the cross, in her contemplation. Tonight is a time to celebrate and to rejoice. We pass through from spectators at the cross to witnesses of Christ's resurrection. Let us pray for our catechumens, candidates, those to receive confirmation, that they may see in their earthly failures their ultimate dependence on the Lord. And may they never tire the great mystery of our Lord's resurrection. Our theological cafe needs many new witnesses of the faith, including our catechumens and candidates and the confirmandi, so that the cast of characters, my little cast of characters, has every chance to encounter the gospel through our lives and convert to the faith. I beg you, I plead with you, that as you receive the sacraments, don't let them fall on you in vain. Use them well, further the gospel, further the kingdom. I cannot say that strongly enough. We need it so much in our world today to have great witnesses. May you be those witnesses.